Welcome to News from the Yuma Sun. Good morning. This is Marcia French, your volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today is July 10th. I have to say I think it's a relatively light news day, which means I have several short articles. I will, of course, have the weather, an obituary notice, and some sports, but it is hot, so it is a little bit lighter on the sports especially. From theweather.com, here's the weather for the next 5 days. Today, it's 111 degrees for the high predicted, 85 for the low. Sunny, no percent chance of precipitation. Winds from the south at 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, the 11th, 108 degrees for the high, 82 for the low. Sunny, 3% chance of precipitation. Winds from the south at 17 miles an hour. Saturday, 108 and 80 degrees. Sunny, 1% chance. South from southeast, 13 miles per hour for the winds. At Sunday, 108 and 81. Sunny, no percent chance of rain. Winds from the south southeast at 12 miles per hour. And Monday, the 14th, the highest predicted to be 108 degrees. My first article has to do with fireworks sparking a brush fire near Falls Ranch on the 4th of July. This article is by James Gilbert, a Sun staff writer from July 8th. A brush fire ignited by fireworks that potentially could have threatened homes near the Falls Ranch subdivision late Friday evening, prompting a multi-unit response from the Yuma Fire Department. According to YFD spokesperson David Padilla Jr., the fire was reported at about 9:03 p.m. near the intersection of West 21st Lane and South 44th Drive. A fire engine crew was initially dispatched to investigate a report of either hay bales or an agricultural field on fire. Upon arrival, the firefighters found a field burning with no immediate threat at the original location. However, due to growing concerns about the fire moving toward nearby residences, especially those in Falls Ranch to the west, they relocated for a better vantage point and upgraded the response. Access to the fire was initially limited by a block wall, making it difficult to deploy master streams. Firefighters then laid down a hose and drew water from a nearby canal. Command was assumed by another crew, which authorized additional support, including two water tenders and a support unit. Firefighters successfully knocked down several spot fires near homes using the hose lay, then transitioned to a pump and roll operation. Firefighters then extinguished the remaining flames on foot, Fire Captain Donald Humphrey wrote in a report of the incident. No injuries were reported and no structures were damaged. The fire was fully contained later that night. Next, Yuma County denies permit for dog kennel amid resident concerns. This article is by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer, July 8th. The Yuma County Board of Supervisors on Monday denied a special use permit that would have allowed a dog kennel with breeding and training facilities on a residential property near the intersection of West Poppy Street and South 47th Avenue. The applicant sought approval to operate a kennel on a 1.25-acre parcel zoned R140, low-density residential, 40,000-square-foot minimum. The property is located in the Yuma Valley planning area and surrounded primarily by agricultural and residential land uses. According to Jesus Carrillo, senior planner for the county, the applicant had requested permission to keep up to 11 dogs on site, with a maximum of 8 used for breeding. Training sessions were to be limited to Friday through Sunday evenings. Despite staff finding the request generally consistent with regulations for zoning, the County Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial in a 5-2 vote, citing compatibility issues with the surrounding neighborhood. The county received 4 letters of opposition, 2 from within the 300-foot notification radius and 2 from outside it. Concerns raised included potential noise, safety of livestock, and a previously reported incident in which dogs allegedly escaped from the property and attacked a neighboring resident's sheep. The people on the commission had concerns, Carrillo told supervisors during the meeting. I believe that is one reason why they moved forward to recommend denial. If the board had approved the permit, staff had outlined 9 conditions of operation. These included a 5-year permit limit, signage requirements, on-site parking, sanitary waste disposal, and restrictions on noise, fencing, and training hours. A prohibition on exotic or hybrid animals such as wolf dogs was also included. The board ultimately sided with the commission's recommendation and denied the request. No one spoke in support of the permit during the public comment portion of the meeting. Next, Community Comes to the Aid of Hero's Family by Joe Tespodes, Sun staff writer, July 8th. After news of the tragic death of Jeffrey Brady spread throughout Yuma and San Diego counties, friends and family have come to the aid of his family with a fundraising campaign. On July 5th, Brady and his family were enjoying the holiday weekend on the Colorado when 2 boys were swept away by the undercurrent. Witnesses told authorities that 51-year-old Brady swam after the boys and kept them afloat while others flagged down a passing boater. The 2 boys were pulled from the river safely. However, the current was too strong and pulled Brady under. Hours later, rescue crews recovered Brady's body. Jeff Brady made the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his life to save 2 young boys, ages 10 and 12, from drowning in the river. Jeff didn't hesitate. He saw children in danger and acted without a second thought. That's just who he was, a protector, a provider, and a selfless hero, reads the GoFundMe account. On social media, Brady is described as an avid outdoorsman who was outgoing and playful. He had recently moved to Yuma from Southern California, but he was no stranger to the desert Southwest, having previously vacationed on the lower Colorado with friends and family. He bought a new home to create a safe and peaceful space for his loved ones. Living with him were the 2 people who meant the world to him, Ellen, the love of his life, and his 84-year-old blind father. Ellen had left her job in San Diego to become the full-time caregiver for Jeff's father, dedicating her days to love and service, notes the GoFundMe account. Jeff's sudden passing has left a devastating void emotionally and financially. His twin brother Greg is now left to carry the weight of 2 households, including funeral expenses and daily needs, on a single income. The burden is heavy, and the road ahead will be long. The 2 boys rescued were his girlfriend's young nephews, and they both are going to need help with counseling and therapy. The fundraising account was established in his name to aid the family with funeral arrangements. Friends, family, and strangers alike have been donating, reaching $80,000 by Tuesday afternoon. This GoFundMe has been created to honor Jeff's life and to support the loved ones he left behind. Funds will go toward funeral and memorial expenses, immediate living costs for Ellen and Jeff's father, and support for Greg, who is now holding up 2 grieving families, the account explained. Jeff Brady died a hero, but he lived as one too. Let's rally together in his honor and show his family that they are not alone. To donate to the Brady family, go to gofundme.com/f/honoring-a-hero-in-memory-of-jeff-brady. Moving on, county to hold online surplus equipment auction. This is by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer, July 8th, 2025. Yuma County will hold its second online surplus equipment auction of the year, July 11th through 25th, offering a wide range of items from various county departments, including electronics, office furniture, vehicles, and industrial tools. The auction will take place on www.publicsurplus.com yumasun.com and a full list of available items, including descriptions and starting bids, was posted after the Board of Supervisors meeting on June 23rd. Among the hundreds of items up for bid are Dell laptops, monitors, printers, Cisco and Juniper network switches, air conditioning units, shredders, and vehicles such as a 2007 International diesel truck, several Ford F-150 pickups, and a Chevrolet Express cargo van. County Administrator Ian McGoffey explained that Yuma County periodically holds these auctions to dispose of surplus equipment. Before opening the sale to the general public, local municipalities and nonprofit organizations were given the first opportunity to purchase the items at discounted rates. However, no requests were received during this round, and the auction is now open to everyone. We are required by law to offer the public the chance to purchase items before we dispose of them, McGoffey said. Well, we could hold on to some of these items. They're either obsolete or no longer needed for our purposes. The quarterly held auction will feature a variety of products, including IT equipment like old laptops, office supplies, filing cabinets, and even some quirky items, such as a commercial stove and a floor sweeper in poor condition. Items sold in the auction are typically sold as is, with no warranty, and bidding will start as low as $1 for many items. Those interested in participating are encouraged to visit the Yuma County Auction webpage for more information and to view the complete list of items once it is available. Once the auction closes on July 25th, any unsold items will be disposed of in accordance with the county's purchasing policy. Next, APS expands Supply My Class program. This article is by Katie Connor from Arizona Public Service from July 8th. Arizona Public Service is expanding its Supply My Class program, enabling more K through 12 public and charter schools within APS territory to apply for a chance to win a $500 virtual gift card to buy classroom supplies. According to the National Education Association, more than 90% of teachers use their own money on school supplies, and the amount they spend each year has steadily increased. To help ease that burden, APS launched the Supply My Class program in 2018 and has since awarded more than 5,500 teachers funding to buy basic school supplies, refresh their classrooms, and more. I am overwhelmed by your tremendous help and generosity for supplying my classroom's needs, said Milren. This is the best gift ever. Tina Marie Tantori, Director of Community Affairs for APS, explained the reasoning behind the program. Teachers inspire, guide, and equip students with the life lessons and skills that shape their futures, she said. The APS Supply My Class program is just one way we can support these educators who are encouraging the next generation. How to apply and deadline. To enter, K through 12 public and charter school teachers within APS's service territory can visit apps.com/supplymyclass by 11:59 a.m. August 11th, 2025. Applying takes about 60 seconds. Winners will be randomly selected and notified by APS by October 4th, 2025, about how to retrieve their gift cards. Full-time K through 12 teachers at public and charter schools in APS service territory are eligible, including previous winners. This program is funded by APS shareholders and is not included in customer rates. Also noting, save the date for STEM teacher grants. Phoenix Suns Charities and APS offers STEM teacher grants of up to $2,500 for K through 12 public and charter school teachers in APS's service territory. A total of $50,000 is available for classroom projects happening from January through May. The application will be open September 1st through 30th, 2025. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona and news from the Yuma Sun. Moving on to some sports, in local gymnastics, Yuma Dazzlers win first national title in Texas. This is by Mac Friday, sports editor, and this is from July 8th also. It's been an incredible year for the Dancers Workshop of Yuma Dazzlers acrobatics team. In just one season's time, the Dazzlers went from last place finishers at their first ever team appearance to national champions in Waco, Texas in the last weekend of June, taking the top overall spot in the Power Team Gym Level 4 category at the 2025 USA Gymnastics for All Gym Fest. We are extremely proud of our Dazzlers acrobatics team, Dazzlers coach Allie Bonner told the Yuma Sun. We are grateful for the unwavering support of our parents, students, and sponsors who believed in our potential for excellence. Their support has been instrumental in our progress. The Level 3 team also had an impressive season with a strong finish in Texas, going undefeated while facing off against 7 nationally ranked squads, capping their campaign with an impressive silver medal. Meanwhile, the Level 4 team showed remarkable consistency, placing in the top 3 throughout the season before clinching a gold medal in the final competition. Level 3 competition is more of a preparatory level designed to get young gymnasts ready for the higher levels of competition by learning basic elements of tumbling and dance. Level 4 is the first required competitive level, which calls for participation of specific set routines on various apparatuses. The Dazzlers competed in floor routines, trampette, and tumbling in Waco last week. We feel so blessed to be where we are now, the team shared. This journey has been a testament to hard work, belief, and community. We can't wait to see what next season brings for the Dazzlers. The Dazzlers are coached by Bonner and studio owner Myra Farrer. Work continues with the Dazzler trainees starting this week at the Dancers Workshop of Yuma. Local fire departments provide medical supplies for Cibola Cross Country Team. This article is by Mac Friday from July 7th. Rural Metro Fire and the City of Yuma Fire Departments teamed up to provide a bag full of medical supplies to the Cibola Cross Country Team on Monday morning at the Rural Metro headquarters on Arizona Avenue. Cibola initially reached out to Rural Metro for assistance with medical supplies, but ended up looping in Yuma Fire Department for the EMS trauma bag. Rural Metro filled the bag with supplies on hand that can be used for the upcoming season this fall in case of injuries at practice or meets. It's really cool for us to be able to sponsor athletes while working with another local agency, Rural Metro Battalion Chief Jeff Woodruff said on Monday. It's a combined effort from Yuma-based firefighters to help out our local athletes together. Cibola Cross Country trains year-round, regularly producing top results as the most successful program in Yuma County over the past few years. Since 2021, the Raiders have won the YUHSD championships in both boys and girls competition. With this added assurance of medical supplies, the Raiders can continue to train for another title without worry of lack of supplies when inevitable injuries happen. It's really awesome to be able to partner with the local fire agencies to help us with all this, Cibola Rising Senior Marina Corona said. It gives us a sense of security because even though we don't want a bad injury to happen, it's amazing that if something were to go wrong, we have the capabilities to help our athletes. Cibola kicks off its 2025 season with a meet on August 27th at West Wetlands Park against Summerton and Yuma High. About 80 athletes are expected to be part of the program this fall. Another sports article, Mizorowski allows leadoff homer to Otani. then dominates as Brewers beat the Dodgers 3-1. This is from July 8th. Jacob Mizrowski bounced back after allowing a leadoff homer to Shohei Ohtani by striking out 12 in six innings as the Milwaukee Brewers defeated the slumping Los Angeles Dodgers 3-1. The National League West leading Dodgers have lost five straight. Ohtani opened the game by connecting on an 0-2 curveball from Mizrowski and delivering a 431-foot shot over the center field wall. Mizrowski, 4-1, responded by striking out Los Angeles' next five batters and ended up yielding only four hits and one walk to outduel three-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw. Clark takes Indiana teammate Boston number one in the WNBA All-Star Game draft. Collier picks Stewart. This article is from July 8th. Caitlin Clark has picked Indiana teammate Aliyah Boston number one, while Nafisa Collier took her unrivaled business partner Brianna Stewart first in the WNBA All-Star Game draft. Clark had the first overall pick by being number one in the fan vote. She had said there was a high chance that Boston and Kelsey Mitchell of the Fever would be on her team. Collier and Stewart started the three-on-three league unrivaled this past winter. They were college teammates at UConn. Clark's other starters were Sabrina Ionescu, Ahai Wilson, and Satu Sabali. Collier took Alicia Gray and Nika Ogumike and Paige Buckers. I mentioned that I had an obituary today. Nancy Carol Aker, age 87 of Yuma, passed away July 6th in Yuma. She was a telephone operator born in 1938 in Augusta, Wisconsin. Cremation and arrangements were entrusted to and handled by Funeraria del Angel Cremon. I'm going to move now to some things to do and blood drives. There is a blood drive today at 1800 East Palo Verde Street. This is by Vitalant. It's Arizona DES blood drive. Onvita has a health carrier exploration night. That's tonight at 5 p.m. at the Onvita Health Administrative Center. City of Yuma has a blood drive on the 10th at 10 a.m. at One City Plaza. July 11th, Chapman Yuma's third annual back-to-school backpack giveaway is at Children's Museum of Yuma County. And there's another blood drive on July 11th at Keller Williams, 12 p.m., 2553 East 24th Street. And Elks Lodge has a blood drive on July 12th, 7:30 a.m., 1917 West 32nd Street. Gateway to the Heart will present Backpack to Success Community Backpack Giveaway July 12th at 8 a.m. to July 13th and July 13th at 10 a.m., 128 West 32nd Street in Yuma. That's while supplies last, one backpack per child must be present. Snacks, drinks, face painting, outdoor games, character photo ops, craft activities. Day one, Saturday, July 12th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. in Yuma. Location one for the main event is 128 West 32nd Street. Location two, backpacks only, 11611 South Foothills Boulevard, Suite E. Day two, Sunday, July 13th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., San Luis, Joe Ordonez Park, 965 Park Avenue, San Luis, Arizona. Chapman Yuma's third annual back-to-school backpack giveaway will be July 11th at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Children's Museum of Yuma County, 200 South Main Street. Chapman Yuma's third annual back-to-school backpack giveaway, museum admission $8, non-members, $3 for EBT cardholders, $7 military with ID. That's the Children's Museum of Yuma. All kids welcomed from elementary to middle school, 400 backpacks available. I will also say that youth graduated from CSF summer camps at Campesinos Sin Fronteras. That's where this article came from, July 8th. 100 middle and high school students graduated from the summer camps offered by Campesinos Sin Fronteras in Somerton and San Luis from June 3rd to 25th. In San Luis, a new generation graduated from the Youth Leadership Institute held at the Cultural Center, where 58 young people gathered, participated in various activities, and attended presentations related to careers and other topics. In Somerton, 42 middle school students took part in the Empowering Future Leaders Camp at Somerton Middle School, which featured workshops and presentations focused on promoting emotional and physical health and well-being. The students also participated in a wide range of educational activities. Both programs are part of the Thrive initiative, which CSF promotes among the new generations in the southern communities of the county. And that's our show for today. I appreciate you and thank you for spending time with me today. The Wall Street Journal is next, and I hope you can stay with us.